you would, turn with me to James chapter 3. And in your bulletin, there is an outline for today. And the children can be dismissed at this time. James chapter 3, as well as the outline is inside your bulletin. We're going to hit one verse in James 3 towards the beginning. The rest of it we'll look at towards the end of this message. Everywhere in between, you have references in your outline for today's message for the other places we're going to look to as we're continuing our study of the power of words. James chapter 3 in your outline in your bulletin. And today we're going to do some problem solving. Anybody like to do problem solving? We're going to do some problem solving. And not that there aren't other variables to these problems, but there is one variable that very much impacts all of these problems. And you might not be able to see why that is initially, but we're going to see why that is here in a moment. Some of us have struggles with mental health issues, whether it's depression or other sorts of things, or the our sense of emotional security that we wrestle with. And that is very much linked to the way we talk. The way we talk to ourselves even can many times dictate, and again, there are other variables at times, but many times we experience struggles with this sense of emotional security, our mental health and stuff, because of the things that we find ourselves saying. Failure is impacted by this. We find ourselves failing at different things. Opportunity. There are times that we do not try to reach out and do things and take risk and experience the opportunity that's available to us because of the things we find ourselves saying. It's very vital to our well-being, our talk, our speech. The vices that some of us have, or the addictions, and more than just drugs and alcohol, you can be addicted to any number of things. The addictions or the bad habits that we have that we can't seem to break, or the good habits that we want to have that we can't seem to get into, these things are very much linked to the things we find ourselves saying. Our relationships are linked to this, and we can see that as an obvious to some degree, but there is a part that is maybe less obvious as far as how the way you talk impacts your relationships. It impacts your behavior, how you act, and the things that you do. It impacts your financial state. All of these things are very much tied to the way we find ourselves talking. And so it's vital for us to learn how to control this tongue that is in our mouth and to stop the things that sometimes come out of it. And today we want to learn how to do that. How do we stop this leak? And we start with one verse in our passage in James 3. James chapter 3, verse 2 says, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body." The whole thing can be controlled by the one small part of the body. And we'll see in a moment as we look through some other parts of this passage and the examples that James gives, like the ship that's controlled by the small rudder, that the things that you say impact so many areas of your life. And it works like this. Like we learned last week, when we talk, we mean something by everything we say. Every casual, careless thing that comes out of our mouth, it is coming from the heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when you feel something, that's what drives you to say the things that we say, whether good feelings or bad feelings. And you express those words out of your mouth, and then when they come out of your mouth, you hear them, they enter into your brain, and you reflect on them, and you think on them, and you form your opinions and your beliefs based on what you find yourself saying. And so it works like this. as I'm saying to myself, have you ever talked to yourself and say, man, why are you so dumb? I can't believe you did that. You're so stupid. Stop doing that. Or you find yourself saying, I'm not good at this one thing, or I'm just not a good parent or a good spouse or a good witness, or I'm not good at my job. I'm just not good at these things. You're saying that because you feel that way. But what happens is as it comes out of our mouth and we don't do anything with those words to correct them, we start to believe that that's the reality, that that's who I am. I'm a nobody. I'm stupid. I'm a failure. I can't accomplish anything. And then you start to feel that even more. And then you start to feel, when you talk about complaining about life and how I don't have this and I don't have that and people don't like me, and you verbalize those things, then you start to believe that you have a horrible life. And you start to experience the emotions of sadness and anger and bitterness, and eventually it drives us to that farthest point of depression. And we mess with our mind because we don't guard the things that we find ourselves saying. It causes us to fail because as we try to do things, we don't think that we can do it, and so we don't really put the right kind of effort into it because we think we're going to fail anyway, and we end up failing, and we almost do a self-fulfilling prophecy there. Or we don't try to take hold of an opportunity presented to us because we're afraid we're going to fail because we convinced ourselves that we will fail at that. And there are so many things we don't end up experiencing in life because it came out of our heart, we verbalized it, and then we believed it, and we're stuck. We form habits that way, and addictions, because we tell ourselves, well, I can't stop doing this, and I can't control myself, and, well, this is never going to change. And we find ourselves stuck there because the tongue is not controlled, so the whole thing is affected. The relationships that we think the obvious part, that yes, the things that I say to that person is going to have an impact on my relationship with them, yes, that's true. But sometimes the things you find yourself saying about that person to somebody else is going to affect the relationship. That's why God hates gossip. Because what happens is I go to that person and I vent and I say, oh, so-and-so did this and that makes me so angry and I'm so frustrated about that. Or they keep doing this dumb thing and I just can't believe they keep doing that. And what happens is that they respond and say, you're right, that's awful. They shouldn't do that. That's ridiculous. I can't believe they do that. And then I hear that and I process that and I gain more justification to be cold towards them, to be standoffish with them, to not restrain myself when I want to be impatient and angry and tell them off because of the words that are coming out of my mouth and bouncing off this other person. Even in venting towards God. And while we see in the Psalms that they vented towards God about things, it can't just be that I threw it all out there and just left it that way. Because also in the Psalms, we find God correcting the person who's praying, when they realize, oh, okay, it's not that bad, or you are faithful, or okay, they aren't that bad. And there's this back and forth interaction. And so if you're going to vent to God, that's okay, as long as you're willing to hear the correction when he speaks back to you. But many times we just vent it all out there, and what happens is, same as talking to a person, I cement the justification in my heart of certain behaviors towards the people, and then I behave that way towards them, and then I affect the relationship, all because of the things that are coming out of my mouth. It affects the way I live. It affects the way the choices I make, financial choices. We decide that we talk ourselves into needing something that we don't really need. We keep saying, well, I need that. I have to have that. I need it. I can't live without that. We get manipulated by the advertisers that tell us that we have to have all these things to live, and we verbalize that. It comes out of our heart because we feel like we need it. We express it. It goes into our mind. We believe it, and then we buy it. And then we decry, God, you're not faithful to provide for me because we're not making wise choices with our finances. All of this stuff is connected to the things that are coming out of my mouth. So how do I learn to stop this leak? Have you ever started talking to somebody and all of a sudden you realize, I don't know why I can't stop talking. I just keep saying a bunch of stuff and you just like the dam broke. And we want to learn how to stop that, how to fix that problem of the dam breaking and just everything just flying out of our mouths. And we've learned some motivation as we've gone through this journey. Our first couple of messages, what we've learned and come to know is that there's consequences to the things we say. One, we are going to stand before God, which again, this is such a sobering thought. I think of it every time I speak anger towards my children, that we're going to stand before God at the judgment. We're going to be called to an account for every single word that comes out of our mouth, planned or not. It's a sobering thought. Also, that everything you say impacts people. And like I said, it's not control. We can't control things and make things happen by our words, but they have a powerful impact. And if I realize that, that's going to start to fuel this motivation to, I have to do something about this. The second item that we learned last week is that the more you speak, you might not think it's true, but you're telling everybody else about yourself. I can't tell you how many times I've learned how someone feels about something, not because they said that that's how they feel about it, but because of the things they were accidentally hinting at because of what they're saying or what they're not saying. You're leaving yourself out there as you talk. Sobering thought also, because there's things we'd rather not have everybody know. And the more we understand this dynamic, the more we're going to gain this motivation to speak the right way. And if you missed those messages, you can go on the website, bethelpgh.org, and listen to them or re-listen to them on the Listen tab. And I want to encourage you, too, if any message ever touches you, you can take the website, you can copy the link and email it to someone or text it to somebody and say, hey, I think this will really bless you. Now, just be careful which one you send them. Hey, stop talking to me this way. And by the way, here's a link to a message. Be careful how you use that, but you can use it appropriately. But have you ever gotten something like that? Someone says, I think you need this. And it's like, how to stop gossiping. Okay, I guess I'm doing that. How to be a nicer you. Or if your wife gives you a book, how to be a better husband. But we've learned those things. We're gaining some motivation with this, and yet you find yourself still not able to be quiet or how to be more tactful or more wise in the things that we say. And so today we're going to learn how to stop this leak. And the way we can learn that is by being aware of the resources that are available to us. If we are aware of the resources that are available to us, we're going to find the empowerment, the motivation, the ability to stop this leak. First resource is the Lord's empowerment. The Lord's empowerment. Psalm 141, verse 3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. He expresses that because he believes that God can enable him to control what he says. And so he asks God for help with that. And because he's the resource for that, he's the enabling power of that, my prayer life is going to impact the ability I have with my mouth. The weaker my prayer life is, the harder it's going to be for me to restrain the things that I say. The stronger my prayer life is, the more I'm going to have this capability to control what I say. That's why it says in Philippians 4:13, you can add that to your notes, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's why 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken us, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful to give us a way out. He's there to enable us. That's why when Jesus said in the garden in Luke 22:40, he said, pray that you will not enter into temptation. That is, that when we are found praying, then we don't give in to temptation, because there is where we find the power. And not just, this is not the amount of time you spend in this. This is not just rattling off some requests to God. This is when I'm interacting with God. I'm having a dialogue with him. I'm expressing things to him, and I'm listening and hearing him say things back to me, and then I'm responding to what he's saying, a conversation. If I have that kind of intimacy with God, that is where the power is found. Because many people rattle off a lot of requests, and they have no power. The power is found in intimacy with God. And so the more intimate I am with the Lord, the greater capacity I have to control this thing right here that gets me in so much trouble. And so if I can know the resources that are available to me, I can find victory to stop the leak. The second resource is pure faith. Pure faith. James 1:26 says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. In other words, the resource here is we have a siren to go off for us, an alarm, a red flag, that if the way we talk is not good, then that is an indication something's not right in my relationship with the Lord. Something's off. And I need to begin to look around and see what that is. And our relationship is multifaceted. It's not just prayer life. Because sometimes the prayer life is okay, but there's something else that's off. It could be the submission aspect. I don't really want to submit to God in that area of my life, surrender to Him in that area. That's a problem in your life with the Lord. Or I'm not going to get involved in the body of Christ and the advancement of His kingdom the way He's calling me to do. That's an area in our walk with the Lord that's not purified. There's a problem there. Or even just my love for the Lord. Because sometimes you can pray and you can do all the service stuff and live a good life, but you don't love, you're not in love with the Lord. Because that love, I mean, any of you who have a grandchild that you're in love with, that you just adore that child, many times you end up spoiling that child because you just want to do whatever the child wants because you have so much love for the child. And it's the same way with the Lord. If we are so in love with Him, you're not going to have to try to think or try to muster up enough energy to do it. You're just going to be motivated to do anything He wants you to do because you love Him. And so there's red flag there. If I'm talking in ways that are not righteousness, in ways that are not pure, there's something wrong with my relationship with the Lord. And so I have to pay attention to these resources that are available to me, the empowerment of the Lord, the issue of pure faith. Thirdly, knowledge. Proverbs 17:27 says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge. That is, that if I have a certain knowledge, I have this ability to restrain my words. Well, what is it that I should know? Proverbs 13:3 says, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. First item I want to notice, my personal benefits to the way that I talk. The personal benefits I gain by talking the right way. And the first one is life. He who guards his mouth has life. He who doesn't has destruction. That doesn't mean that people who have a poor mouth and speak things that are not good, that doesn't mean that they will always have everything good for them, that they will never have a bad thing in their life. That doesn't mean also that if I say all the right things that I'll never suffer anything. What that means is if your mouth is not righteous, your life will be worse off than with a better speech. If your speech is good, then your life is better off than what it would be without it. Doesn't mean, this is not name it, claim it. It doesn't mean you're going to be rich. It doesn't mean you're going to have everything that you want kind of thing. But just like that dynamic, that heart to mouth to mind, the way you talk influences and impacts your life. And many people render themselves completely incapacitated and in a hole because of the things that they find themselves saying. Our words affect our life, the kind of life that we have. My personal benefit. Respect. Proverbs 17, verse 28 says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. So those of you who are by nature quiet, you look smarter. But why is that I look smarter? It's because all of us have flaws. All of us have weaknesses. And the more you talk, just like we said last week, when I talk, I expose myself. The more you talk, even though you don't intend to, even though sometimes we try to conceal it, your weaknesses just start to come out the more we talk. And so if I stay quiet, I retain a certain level of respect. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're told to confess our sins to one another. But that doesn't mean that I have to make sure that everybody I come in contact with, that they know all my sins and they know every time that I sin. We don't have to do that. And besides, if you're like me, you probably would have to spend 30 minutes every time you interact with someone. Okay, I blew it this way this week, and then I messed that up, and then you don't have to tell everybody, and here's why. Because there are some people that are not going to be able to respect you if they know your struggle. They won't. That they won't be able to hear you anymore. You won't be able to influence their life, because if they know that you have that weakness, they'll think, well, they can't help me. They're messed up like that. Have you ever confessed something to somebody and then you tried to help them and then they said, well, what do you know? You did this. Okay? And that's what happens here, is the more we expose things, that's just kind of the risk. So we have to, and don't misunderstand me. This doesn't mean you conceal everything, but it doesn't mean you tell everybody everything. There has to be a balance in this. And so you just have to be careful the way you speak, because just know that if you tell everybody everything, you're going to lose a measure of respect. It's just what happens. Whether it's right or not, it's just the nature. And that's what Proverbs does. It just points out the nature of things. Not that necessarily it's justified. Sure. So it just depends on the nature. So you have to be led by the Spirit. Because Paul, when he shared his testimony, he would say his faults. I used to be a persecutor of the church. I was against God. I was a blasphemer. And God changed me. So, and there's something to that. So it just depends on who you're talking to. So this is where, that's the funny thing about the leading of the Holy Spirit. I can't just say, well, when this happens, then you do this. Other than the parameters of Scripture, usually it's just you're just going to have to know. And so you just have to have a connection with God and know. I wish it was easier than that. But respect, that's one thing that I have at risk when I'm talking. It's a benefit I retain. Protection. Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Did you ever go to school with or work with the person who just doesn't stop saying stuff? And he keeps getting in trouble and he still keeps talking. You're thinking, stop already. You're making it worse for yourself. Or, you know the line, quit while you're ahead. Have you ever had someone like that? They got in trouble and then they try, well, it's because of this. And then they ratted themselves out even further. And they just keep getting in further trouble and it just keeps getting worse because they can't stop talking. Shh. Quiet. Just quiet down, because that doesn't mean that everything's great for everybody else in the class or everybody else at that job, but I don't invite destruction my way. There's protection in staying quiet. And all the introverts in the house said, amen. And all the extroverts said, God help me. But our introverts, we can get ourselves in trouble too, right? These are the benefits that I have if I am controlling my tongue, if I'm stopping the leak. We're finding motivation if we know these things. The second item to know is the path to please God. Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. Psalm 50, verse 19, you give your mouth free rein for evil. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. The more I talk, the more likely it is I'm going to not please God. And if in our hearts we truly want to please God, then this is going to be important to us then. That's going to be the motivator that makes us want to do this, is because I want to please God. And so I'm going to attempt to stop the leak that is there in my mouth. Then the last one here is the power of my speech. And this is where we're going to look to James. The power of my speech. First, the power of influence. James 3. Again, picking back up at verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole tongue, or his whole body. Verse 3, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. They are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. Verse 5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Did you hear that? The tongue affects the whole course of life, just like where we began. The tongue, what you say, affects all of it. And it stains the whole thing. When we speak, we create this taint to our lives that ends up dictating at times our behavior, our relationships, our emotional security, our mental well-being, our finances. It stains the entire thing by the things that we say. That's the influence that we have over ourselves when we begin to speak out of this mouth. And the illustrations he gives is that when I train a horse, if I can get him to be controlled by his mouth, I can control his whole self. If you've ever trained an animal and used snacks and treats to do so, you know that you can get some measure of control by going after that particular desire. It's the same sometimes with, they say, with men, what is the way to a man's heart? Through his stomach. If you find the right lever, you can make the whole thing move wherever you want it to go. And what he's hinting at, and this is why we looked at highlighting our personal benefits to this, and as much as we think, well, that's self-focus, and I just want to be selfless, and I just want to do it because it's the right thing, God tells us constantly throughout Scripture why this is good for you. Obey because you'll have life. Do this because you'll have rewards. Do this because it'll be better for you. Do this and this will happen for you. He focuses on the things that we want because he knows that if we start with what motivates us, we're going to arrive at the point that we're wanting to get to. And that is that when you start beginning, just convince yourself that this is good for me and start to find the reasons why it's good for you. And, well, but I want to do it for the right reasons. That's okay. Do it for the wrong reasons first, if you see it that way, because, again, this is the way God communicates it to us. But do it for those reasons first, and what happens is you begin to form a habit where at some point you get along the way, just like the bad habits that you can't seem to break, the good habits work the same way. That if you make yourself have a habitual type response and a certain habit in the way you do things, then at some point it doesn't matter if you don't want to do it anymore. You just find yourself doing it. It's just the way you do things, and then you no longer need the selfish motivation. You just do it because that's what you do. That's the fruit that you bear. And so if I can control the mouth, the desire, then I motivate the whole thing. The second illustration he gives is the ship. That the small, and I can't remember where I heard this line. It might have been a movie or TV show. Someone was trying to motivate someone that was trying to make a difference, and he said, if you find the right lever, you can make the whole world move wherever you want it to. And that's true. If you find the right motivation in any person's life, in your own life, you can guide the whole thing. If you can get a hold of that little rudder, guide the whole ship. But the problem is this. If any of you have ever been in a boat, driven a boat, unlike a car that can make a rather sharp turn, a boat can't make a sharp turn like that. Because once you acquire speed and momentum, you can turn it around, but the faster you're going, the larger the ship is, the more wider of a turn you're going to have to make, and it's going to take longer for you to turn around. Same way with changing this thing. If you've let it loose for so long and it's just been that way for so long, don't expect it to just transform overnight. Now, God can give you the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to do that. But understand that most likely this is going to be a big gradual U-turn that you're going to have to make. And so don't come back next week and, well, I tried to control my mouth, and it didn't work for a week, so it doesn't work. And so I'm just going to keep going back to the way I did it before. Don't do that. Just keep at it and keep turning the rudder. Keep taking the things, the disciplines, coming to know, seek the Lord in your prayer life, reading the Scriptures and doing the things that we're learning here in the Scripture, and keep turning that rudder, and eventually you're going to find yourself where, the good thing came out of my mouth that time. I don't know how that happened. I said the right thing. And you're going to find yourself transformed because you're taking control of the rudder. The third example he gave was the fire. If you try to put out a fire when it is in just the kitchen, it's a lot easier to put out than if you waited for it to begin to consume the entire building. It's a lot harder to put out that fire. Also, the damage, if you put it out in the kitchen, is contained just to the kitchen. But there is a lot more damage if you let it go spread to the entire house. And our tongue is like fire. So if we have spoken certain things to certain people in our lives, and we've just kind of interacted with them that way for so long, we've allowed the fire to spread to a point that it is almost uncontrollable. And so now, when I try to speak to that person, there's a fire there. There's damage there. And I might think, well, I went over to them, and I apologized, and I said some nice things, and they weren't nice back to me. I don't know why they weren't nice to me. That's because for 30 years you said bad stuff to them, and you decide that one day you're going to be nice, and you think they're going to say, you're a wonderful person. I love you so much, even though I'm just going to forget that for 30 years you've always been mean to me. It doesn't work that way, because you set a fire and you let it consume the whole house, and the damage is there. And it's going to take a lot longer to reconstruct that house, to reconstruct that relationship, than just a day. And are you willing to go through that journey to do all the repairs that it takes? Because you're going to have to change your mouth and for maybe even decades speak life to that person before you see change. And are you willing to go down that journey? These are hard things. Hard things. But God wants us to have this life and the health within our relationships and to enjoy his pleasure. God wants us to be there. But if we can't control this, the whole thing is getting stained. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? It's enough to make someone never say anything ever again. But we have to get this. Like I said, so much of your life, it says this consumes the whole of our life. So much of your life, the things you're struggling with, you're suffering through, is because of the things that you're saying. And so stop insulting yourself all the time. Stop speaking death to yourself all the time, telling you can't do this, you can't do that. Stop doing that to yourself. And stop doing that to all the people around you as well. Stop this leak. But in order for us to do that, we have to let the Lord do work in our lives. And so this morning, I'm going to give an opportunity for you to respond. And maybe it's that you didn't realize how powerful this issue was. You need to come to terms with that. Maybe it's that, and I forgot to read those final verses. See, it says, verse 9, this tongue, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. If there's something wrong with my mouth, not only does it indicate possibly something's off in my relationship with the Lord, but there's a character flaw inside of me. So maybe there's some flaws that you didn't really want to admit to, you didn't want to come to terms to, but you're realizing it's there and you need to deal with that. And so in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come and between you and the Lord, deal with that flaw. Or maybe it's this love aspect of your relationship with the Lord, the desire to please him is not there, and you need the Lord to generate. He can create a new heart within a person. And so your heart might be a heart of stone, but God can change that. Or maybe it's that you're not realizing all the positives that you can attain by controlling the tongue. And you need the Lord to cement that in your heart and your mind and your spirit, that this is the reality of life. I have to control this. This is affecting me. Or maybe it's that you've realized there's something off with your relationship with the Lord, your prayer life. And if you're not so sure that the strength of your relationship with the Lord dictates your capabilities, this is why Jesus said in John 15, the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. That is the source of our strength, is in our relationship with him. So as the worship team leads us, you have things to deal with between you and the Lord. you need to receive strength, encouragement, guidance, then come and let's seek him and let's see not only this change, but the whole thing. I sense that there's someone here that you can respond to the Lord privately to this, but some of you just need delivered from some self-defeating thinking. And that's why the scriptures tell us to first of all guard the heart, and then to guard the mouth, and then to take every thought captive. Because this really is the reality of it. Sometimes the heart speaks straight to the mind. Sometimes you don't say it, it just goes straight up there. And some of you are hearing what's being said, and then your response internally is, so then it's my fault then. It's my fault. Maybe, maybe not, but you're going to allow that to convince you to just stay there in that pit that you're in. Don't worry. That's why Paul says, I forget what lies behind, and I press forward to what lies ahead. Whether it was your fault or someone else's fault or whatever, just correct the thinking. Just stop thinking that of yourself. You were made in the image of God. Flaws, yes, but you were made with potential. You were made to live, to please him. You were made for those things. That is your destiny. Jeremiah says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper to you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. That's God's desire for you. And your thinking is holding you enslaved, and you need free from that. So if that's you, don't beat yourself up. Just move forward. And this thing with our mouths, we've got to get this. We have to as a church. And I'm not sharing this message because I think that there's a bunch of us that don't get it necessarily. But we have to know how to speak with words of righteousness, with words of life, that we build each other up. We have to get that. Because what happens is, and again, the answer to this is not to go run away. The answer is to resolve these things. But we could, by what we're saying to one another, we could be impacting whether or not people are optimistic or doubtful about our future by what we're saying. We can impact whether or not people decide to get involved or to be withdrawn by what you're saying. Sometimes even out of your attempt to be sympathetic, you're pushing people towards withdrawal. By what we're saying, we're impacting whether or not people try hard to excel in the things that they do for God, or they become lackadaisical and excuse themselves. By what you say is determining whether or not people feel loved or feel judged. And we have to get this. In order for us to reach this neighborhood, the community, in order for us to have a... And it's okay, God loves the children, right? And that's an example. We can experience something that might feel one way, and we have to make sure that what comes out of our mouth is not death, life. And that is hard to get.